When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
All right, welcome to Wiggins America. We got a big show for you today. We do have a really cool guest at the end of the show, the creator and director of a movie called Thank You, Dr. Fauci. I do believe that is an ironic title. I don't think he's actually thanking Dr. Fauci with this film. But this is an Angel Studios film, and I have yet to see it. I'm looking forward to finding out more about this movie. I think this is a brand new release, and I actually like that Angel is getting involved in politics. They already kind of were, you know, with the Jim Caviezel movie about the drug trafficker. I can't remember the name of it. And all of the Christian stuff they've done. They did The Chosen in the past, although they do not do it anymore. Somebody else bought The Chosen, but you didn't know that. But I like that they're kind of dipping a toe into these waters. I appreciate that because they make good stuff. So we'll talk to him at the end of the show. But for now, let's talk about some of the biggest news of the week. Right now, it's really birthright citizenship. I know that there's a lot of other things going on, and we will talk about those things. And we'll also take a little break with the next segment and do some lighter stuff. But yes, we're going to get to election fraud, too. You know, I got to keep updating you on these things because I do consider that to be pretty much the most important story in the world right now. And I feel like it's just not being reported. So we're going to keep talking about it. But until then, let's talk about birthright citizenship. I pulled up a thread, which is really kind of the way an article reads anymore, from a Georgetown law professor about birthright citizenship. And I'm going to read through this and talk about it with you. And I feel, and the reason I brought this up is because I feel like this is a rather objective look at the way this argument will go at the Supreme Court. It's a huge, huge issue that needs to be solved one way or the other, because we are one of the only nations that still allows birthright citizenship by land rather than by blood. There are some other Western Hemisphere nations that do it. Canada is still one of them, but look at the mess they're in. Most of the rest of the world does it by blood. They do it by lineage. And, you know, if you were born to somebody who's a citizen, then you're a citizen. That's the way the vast majority of the world does it. And nations that had been doing it the way we do it have actually changed in the last 20 years because they've recognized how much it's being abused. But anyway, to this point from Randy Barnett, the Georgetown law professor, he says, all concur. Well, here we go. The debate over birthright citizenship gets very obtruse very fast. So now that the issue will be heard by SCOTUS, Supreme Court, It's useful to keep in mind what is and what is not contested. First, all concur. So whether you're Democrat or Republican here, coming at this issue from either way, being born in the U.S. is not enough. I bet you didn't know that, did you? I'm finding this out, too, as I'm researching this stuff. Being born in the U.S. is not enough. And that's what somebody with very little understanding of birthright citizenship is going to say, is that, well, if you're born in the U.S., that's it. It's not. In fact, there's all kinds of precedent for it not to be. One must also be, quote, subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. That's a big part of that amendment. I think it's the 14th Amendment. He says there were three classes of persons thought to be not subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S., and they have been identified as, so far, Native American tribes, because they were made to be separate. They actually wanted to be separate, even though they're within the U.S. Diplomats, because if you have a child and you're a diplomat, that doesn't mean they're a U.S. citizen. And invading armies or invading anybody's. The citizenship of children in these classes was determined by the status of their parents. Most concur that subject to the jurisdiction was not a closed set compromised of these three classes and only these three, but that these classes fell under the concept of jurisdiction, so subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. But other classes might also qualify. That's where the Supreme Court is going to step into this. So the legal debate over the original meaning of subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. is really what's being decided here. Randy Barnett, this Georgetown law professor, goes on to say, I think most would have to concede that this must mean more than mere physical jurisdiction, or the second requirement of the jurisdiction would be identical to the first requirement of birth. In the U.S., and this is a very legal argument, of course, in that the U.S., but some may disagree, what else could it possibly mean? What he's saying is there has to be more than just you were born here. Otherwise, what's the point of saying subject to the jurisdiction thereof? And there's these classes of people that have already been determined to be not subject to this jurisdiction. So the question raised by the president's executive order is whether A, those who entered or remain in the territory of the U.S. unlawfully, or B, those who are temporary visitors to the U.S. fall within the concept to which subject to the jurisdiction referred. So when listening to the debaters, and this would be the legal debate over it, focus your attention on their theory of subject to the jurisdiction thereof, because that's the key phrase that needs to be determined. Upon what evidence do they rely in support of their proposed theory or concept, and does it reduce to mere physical presence? The argument against it is that, of course, it does not. It's also possible that the original meaning of subject to the jurisdiction was ambitious or vague, maybe even on purpose, in which case it will require constitutional construction in addition to interpretation to determine its meaning. So, this is his conclusion from the Georgetown law professor Randy Barnett here. In my view, faithful constitution construction relies on the original ends, objects, functions, or purposes of the language in the context of the clause in which it appears. In sum, the question presented is not as easy to answer as some contend. Neither is it as complicated as it often seems from listening to the arguments of both sides. This is why I thought, well, it's a fairly middle argument here, and he's just presenting the facts. So he's not even giving his opinion here. He says, don't be distracted. Keep your eye on the ball. Buckle up, because it's going to be a bumpy ride as we determine what subject to the jurisdiction thereof means in the U.S. Constitution concerning citizenship. I do believe that this is poised to be one that the Supreme Court may rule in favor of the Trump administration. Why? Because they took the case at all. They didn't have to take this case, but they did. There are people who will try to deceive you and say this is an open and shut case, cut and dry, however you want to call it. A lot of those people that I'm seeing on Twitter have been Democrat politicians. Surprise, surprise. They've actually, one guy, and he got retweeted over and over by other Democrat politicians, quoted the entire amendment and left out, with an ellipse, the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof. In other words, he said, listen, this is the whole argument right here. I'm just going to leave out the phrase that we're talking about that's going to be determined. The whole crux of the argument is this one phrase of four words, and I'm just going to leave that out of this tweet. It's deliberate disinformation that they're trying to pull here to sway public opinion. I hate that crap. I hate it when Republicans do it. I hate it when anybody does it. Just give me the facts and let me decide. Now, you can give me your opinion with those facts. That's what we do here. But at least they're facts. And before we go, before we run away from this segment, I'm going to play one way in which, because when we think about birthright citizenship, we think about it basically in terms of one thing, and that's illegal immigrants or even immigrants and them abusing this system. But there are ways in which this is happening right now that are deliberate, that are an abuse of the system, that aren't talked about. And so I brought this to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and here it is.
Wow, Wiggins America.
Okay, so with birthright citizenship up for review by the Supreme Court, big, big deal.
Huge deal.
Huge deal. Most of the world does not have birthright citizenship. America does. And it all comes from the Fourth Amendment, which says, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, when we hear that, we usually think about an illegal immigrant coming to the United States and having a baby, and then what becomes of the baby? Do they have citizenship or not? Right now they do. You don't think about people exploiting these laws like crazy, which they do. That's part of the process. And in fact, California has a whole industry built around birthright citizenship.
Do they really?
And it's mostly Chinese that are using it. They are coming over here when they get pregnant, staying here for an extended period of time. There are whole travel agencies in China that operate illegally because they can't do it either, to bring over pregnant women into California to just stay here until they have a baby.
We're fools.
We are.
We are fools for letting that happen, because that amendment was written to deal with slaves, correct?
It was
to ensure that they... that there was no question about their citizenship because they were brought here against their will.
Right. It was written with compassion in mind for
Correct.
The situation of the time.
Yes.
And then it's been weaponized against us, because the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof is the key phrase in that amendment that people just overlook. In fact, somebody from California, I think a representative from California, tweeted that over the weekend and just left the phrase out.
Oh, nice.
So they know it's a problem, because you do have to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. These people are clearly not. They're just having a baby here and then leaving, going back.
I heard, too, that they're paying an American citizen to be the surrogate.
So that's another
form. Hundreds of thousands of dollars that they're forking over so that some woman who already lives here can have their baby, and then, boom, the baby's a citizen.
So that's another form of it, and that's a more expensive form of it, where people are using egg donors and surrogacy institutes in Beverly Hills, for instance. They went and interviewed this one egg donor place, and they said 90% of their clients are Chinese right now.
Wow.
So it's happening in both ways, and either way, it's still legal in the United States under the current
a
way of interpreting that.
Yeah. I hope the Supreme Court comes through for us on that one, for sure.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It has needed to be addressed for a long time, and most industrialized and Western nations have already addressed it. A lot of them, it was illegal anyway, but ones where they had the law like us, they all have pretty much cut it off. I think Canada.
America. When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit of a short segment here. Just wanted to give you a roller coaster update. I am a theme park fanatic, and I'm sorry to tell you that when I'm on the Annie Fry show, we all are. Brad probably to the least extent. Annie is really into the Disney parks because they are just the best. They are. Disney World is, in my opinion, the best in the world. Yeah, you might give a nod to Tokyo Disney. I did go there the one time I was in Tokyo, looking forward to maybe going back there at the end of next year to visit some friends, and I will make Disney a priority to visit while I'm there because their stuff there is, I mean, you talk about top-notch. It is the cleanest, most impressive park I've ever been to was Tokyo Disney. But Disney World, the rides are just unbelievable. They're so good. And Universal is just a just a step behind. They're really good too. And so I was able to go to, finally, was able to go to the brand new Universal Park, Epic Universe, a couple weeks ago when I was in Orlando for a conference. And it is impressive. But the thing is about Universal, Epic Universe, is that they control your sight lines so much of where you're walking that everything you see is meticulously designed and just amazing. And they've got these portals that you walk through. You kind of have walk into the middle of a spoke, and then you walk out onto each spoke, you know, out of this center circle. And you walk through these portals into these lands. And the lands are Dark Universe, which was my favorite. And that's like classic Universal monsters, Frankenstein and Dracula and stuff. And it's just very dark and castle-y. And then you go to Mario World, and that's Nintendo, and it's all super bright, and it's amazing. And then what's the other ones? How to Train Your Dragon was cool. It was my least favorite of the lands, but it was still cool. And then there's the Harry Potter world, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and it's another one that you're just like, wow. And so those are the four lands, and I understand that they may be building another one now, or they're adding on to Harry Potter. That's kind of some news from the week. But they control how you see it and how you view it, so everything is a reveal. So you walk through this portal, and it's just like, wow. They did an unbelievable job of that stuff. The rides themselves, I wasn't that impressed with. They have some really good rides. Stardust Racers is a great roller coaster where it's two going side by side, and that, you know, you look like you're crossing over each other and stuff. That's a lot of fun. And then the Harry Potter ride is good, but the Monsters ride in Dark Universe I thought was the best one they had. I was actually relatively unimpressed with all the Mario stuff, which is really sad because the Donkey Kong ride, I was like, oh, this is going to be great because it looks like it's hopping the track like in the video game. It was okay. There's nothing bad about it. It just wasn't as – I was probably building it up too much. Anyway, I'm just telling you this because I'm a coaster enthusiast, and if you've never been to Epic Universe, I'm just preparing you that it's super impressive visually. And then the rides themselves almost seem like it was just enough to get the park open. And my guess is over the next 20 years, they're just going to add a lot of rides there. And it'll be an amazing park because it already is pretty impressive. But they're also adding a new coaster at Legoland in Florida called the Galacticoaster. And I'm looking forward to riding that as soon as they announce when it's opening, sometime in 2026, hopefully early 2026, because I want to go there in, I don't know, March or April, right around there. And experience that with my son. So That's your update on coasters. I'm not really sure if you came to Wiggins America for a coaster update, but that's what you're getting today. And I appreciate you indulging me anyway. We'll get right back to the news here shortly on Wiggins America.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go a whole show without talking about election fraud, did you? Nah, we can't do that. But I'm also not going to give you the same update because I don't really have a whole lot of news. I mean, there's stuff happening like crazy involving Venezuela. And hopefully, if you listen to the last couple weeks, you'll know how we connect the dots there if you're interested. I mean, if to me, this is maybe the biggest news story in the world. But I know, I talk to my wife about it. I talk to people about it sometimes and they're like, meh. I'm like, okay, if you don't have to be interested. But if you are, if you're interested in connecting election fraud with what's going on in Venezuela right now, go back and listen to the podcast from last week. And then even the week before that, I talked about it a little bit, although I didn't connect all those dots. Last week is really the big one. So listen to all that. But we're not going to stop talking about this subject. And I will restate this again, that I am only reporting what can be verified by official sources. And the official source for most of this is the President of the United States. He's tweeting and truthing about a lot of this stuff, but he's not doing open press about it. It's like he's just throwing breadcrumbs out to show you what's actually happening, but he's not openly talking about it. So I'm not sure exactly what the strategy is there, but I know it's fully strategic because all of this is strategy. It all has to do with Russia and China and Iran and elections and drug cartels and oil and all of that stuff, which kind of runs, I should say, funnels through Venezuela, because I don't think they're the source of all of it, but it all comes through there. So will they be able to stop all of it from happening by attacking Venezuela? I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of that. But clearly, the president is on this issue. And I'm glad to know that. And it's not just a new issue either. Again, I'm only giving you verified stuff. And here's a weird little story, actually. So Lou Dobbs, you know the name Lou Dobbs. Did you know that he passed away about a year or so ago, a year and a half maybe? Weird story here. Lou Dobbs, of course, was on CNN for a long time. And then he switched over. Was he on Fox Business after that? He got fired from CNN because he was reporting things they didn't want him to say, which I'm like, I want to listen to that guy now. And he talked about this issue quite a bit. But the thing is, he didn't get hung up on just this issue. He talked about all kinds of stuff. And I'm talking about election fraud. And I'm going to play a clip here in a minute, but I'm going to tell you the story first. We here at 97.1 actually added the Lou Dobbs show shortly before he died. We added the show and we're like, okay, this will be good. We're going to put it on Sundays, right around my show on Sundays. I can't remember exactly when. And then, I mean, I literally within a week or two of adding the Lou Dobbs show, Lou Dobbs died. And we went, what are we supposed to do? I mean, it's sad, but also what are we supposed to do with the show? And that's when Roger Stone took over his show. And I do believe we're still playing the Lou Dobbs show, which is now the Roger Stone show, depending on what it's called. And so that was just a weird, you know, side note that I don't know that we ever actually said that or if you cared about that. But we were kind of scrambling. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you all this is because Lou Dobbs has been talking about election fraud for a long, long time. And he's actually been talking about it so long that before it was a partisan issue, it was actually a bipartisan issue. So back in 2005 and 2006, you know, this would have been during the George W. Bush era, Lou Dobbs did a report on election machines and how they can be, and he was asserting, would easily be manipulated to alter elections. And I'm going to play for you that report here, but it's remarkable that in 2006, which is when this aired on CNN, this wouldn't have been considered a right-wing conspiracy. Again, this was during the George W. Bush era on CNN. And tell me if this sounds familiar.
A firm owned by Venezuela could be allowed to take over one of this country's top voting machine firms. Venezuela, of course, led by Hugo Chavez, working to change the views of most South American countries, moved to the left. Critics of the deal say our nation's very democracy is now for sale without anyone doing a thing about it. Giddy Pilgrim reports.
The use of some 19,000 electronic voting machines in the city of Chicago and Cook County primary on March 21st of this year is now under intense scrutiny. The U.S. company that makes the machines, Sequoia, was bought in 2005 by Smartmatic, a private company primarily owned by Venezuelan businessmen. When Chicago had problems with the machines, a dozen Venezuelan employees were there to help with the election. Chicago officials are outraged.
I think that American elections ought to be run by American companies and ought to be run by American citizens, not Venezuelan nationals.
Smartmatic is technically based in Boca Raton, Florida, but the president of the company, Jack Blaine, testified to the Chicago City Council. Fewer than a dozen Smartmatic employees work in Florida. The majority of the workers are based in Venezuela. Watchdog groups question why U.S. voting machines would be under the control of citizens of another country, especially a country whose own election process is highly suspect.
We believe this is a national security issue. There is no way that companies belonging to non-U.S. corporations should have access to our elections.
The Treasury Department is supposed to monitor sales of U.S. companies to overseas investors where there is a question of national security, such as in the Dubai ports deal, the so-called CFIUS review process. Some in Congress are demanding an investigation.
In the case of Smartmatic, there are a number of unanswered questions. That's why I wrote to the Secretary of the Treasury and asked them to review the ownership. It's offshore, it's murky, no one seems to know who owns it. Certainly our government should know.
A potential risk to the democratic process. Now, we called the Treasury Department to ask if the sale of Sequoia in 2005 had been reviewed or not. Treasury told us they were aware of the sale, but can't confirm if it's been reviewed or not. And some in Congress and voter watchdog groups also are demanding a better answer than that, Lou.
Well, this Treasury Department is filled with incompetence. They have stopped in over 1,500 reviews, only one sale to foreign owners, American assets. But a voting machine company, critical to this country's election count, and they can't tell you whether or not the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States reviewed it or not?
They have no answer for us. And
these are the most arrogant, incompetent, bureaucratic idiots. I mean, the Treasury Department is trying to move ahead of a number of other departments in that category.
It's incomprehensible.
I think we need to tip our hat to the Congresswoman. She did a marvelous job in looking into this, and hats off to her. At least somebody is trying to make some sense. This administration, call the White House. Let's find out the answer so this audience knows exactly what's going on by Monday evening. And this is ridiculous.
We are looking into it actively, Lou.
Thank you, Kitty.
Wow, huh? That dude was on it. That dude was on it. That's Lou Dobbs. 2006 reporting on CNN. Amazing stuff. We are going to take a break now. And again, I'll just remind you again, if you want to hear the whole story and how I connect the dots with that kind of stuff to what's going on in Venezuela right now, get last week's podcast and listen to at least the last two segments where I really dive into it. But coming up next, we have the director, creator of a new film about Anthony Fauci that I've been looking forward to talking to all week. Saved it for last. Stick around. That's next here on Wiggins America.
This is what vexes the entire problem. I go back to 09 and 10. Republicans have trash-talked Obamacare, whether it's deserved or not, we can debate, since 2009, 2010. They have never been able to coalesce around a plan that they can pass. Period. Fiend. 30. Full stop.
Yeah.
And therein lies the rub why we're scrambling around 2 weeks before Christmas and thinking they can fix Obamacare.
Well, that's Chad Pergram from this week on the Annie Fry Show. I actually pulled it from him on the show because I thought that was just a really good recap of what we've been dealing with, not just recently, but for a long time. You know, Democrats have had a health care plan for a long time. It's socialized medicine. I mean, it is the full government taking control of all of your health care. And you can see how that goes in Western Europe and many other nations in the world. It does not go well. It goes well for a very short period of time, just like most socialist programs. And then they start to run out of money, and then they got to spend more money. And it just sort of lowers the quality of all the care. And it takes, I mean, ultimately, as with anything in socialism, it takes away the incentive to do better. So America subsidizes a lot of the world's health care. And if we didn't, those systems, those socialist systems would even be worse than they are. But if you talk to somebody from Great Britain, I ran into somebody, I can't remember exactly where I was, but this was several years ago. It's not even a recent political debate or issue, but it was shortly after Obamacare, probably in the early 2010s. I was talking to somebody from Great Britain, and she said, look, if you have any money, you buy separate health care insurance because the government insurance is just so bad. And then you just get in line with everybody else, and it's awful. If you want good health care, if you want to, you know, be taken care of for your problems, you buy separate insurance. That's the way they do it. If you have any money at all, that's what you do. And of course, you're still paying for the crappy insurance, though. Because that's what socialism does. It just sort of lowers the bar for everybody. Anyway, that's not even the point of what I'm saying here. Democrats have had this plan for a long time to socialize medicine. The Republicans, to their credit, have resisted that plan, but they've had no alternative plan. And now we're in a lurch where healthcare costs, I should stop saying healthcare, it's health insurance is what we're talking about here. Health insurance now costs an arm and a leg. I mean, to the point where some people are going without it, and they're better off going without insurance because the plan, you know, it's so different when you pay out of pocket if you go to the doctor than if you have insurance. It's a total train wreck. And I don't think that's even a bipartisan issue in that nobody disagrees that what we currently have is a train wreck. And so they're trying to prop it up now. Democrats are trying to just prop it up with more money, and they're not even trying to spend what they have been spending on it. They want to spend more. They want to spend COVID era the same. They don't want to go down. So anytime there's like emergency spending, it's not emergency spending. It's the new permanent spending. And that's what we've seen during COVID. And let me wrap this up in a nice little ball and say that that's why we're nearly $40 trillion in debt right now, is partially because of healthcare. Because it costs so dang much. It costs us almost $2 trillion as a nation every year to run our current healthcare system via the government. Now, that's not even including all the private money that you and I are pumping into it. That's just government money. So anyway, the reason that I started this segment with it, which is the last segment of the show, and if we have time, I'm going to get back to a little bit of that Lou Dobbs stuff that we're just talking about because it's really important. But and by the way, I should have said this in the break. I found out that our guest from the documentary "Thank You, Dr. Fauci," the director of that movie, which is ironic title, we're gonna push that back to next week. We just had trouble connecting, and I wanted to make sure that we did it right. And I said, no, let's not do it now then if we're doing this last minute. So we're going to push that back and do that next week because I think that's an interesting documentary from Angel Studios. But anyway, the healthcare point that I'm trying to make here before we jump and run on to something else is that there is no plan from Republicans up until just recently. And you want to know what that plan was? Well, if you're paying attention to the news, it's kind of a Trump-floated plan, and it's a great idea. I love the concept that they're floating, as long as it's not a permanent concept, that they would take the money, that $2 trillion nearly, that they're spending on health care, and that's actually not what they're saying, but humor me for a second. They spend the take the money they're spending on health care and then just reallocate it, give it back to you so that you can spend it on your own health care and you can make your own choices. So it's a net zero for the government. They would be spending no more or taking in no more. Actually, they're always spending more than they take in. But it would not really change anything. And that's where I think this is an issue is, first of all, because I ran a bunch of numbers on this, and I'm going to tell this to you now. The idea of the sort of healthcare voucher system, kind of like school choice, doesn't work. And I'm sorry to say that because I wanted it to work. I really thought, oh man, if they can take all that money and just reapportion it to people individually, then maybe that could fix everything and you'd reintroduce competition and you'd reintroduce basically consumer-driven healthcare rather than this nebulous mess of a system that we have now. Again, not that I thought that it was the great permanent solution, but at least it was a good stepping stone and maybe you could get Democrats involved. But when you run the numbers, and I did, I ran the numbers, they actually don't work. Because if you just take what Obamacare subsidies were and you apportion that to every American, it's not very much money, unfortunately. The Obamacare subsidies end up being, if you reapportion that, only about $1,000 per person. And that's annually. So that doesn't even scratch the surface. So why would we even try that? That I like the idea of getting rid of Obamacare, but you can't do it that way. And so I ran the numbers and said, okay, well, what if theoretically, not that it would happen this way, but what if theoretically they actually took all the money that we used on healthcare and said the government's going to get out of the game entirely and reallocate all of that money, which is about 1.7 to 1.8 trillion, back to Americans every single year for us to buy our own health insurance with. And that still only nets us about $7 trillion per adult. I'm sorry, $7,000 per adult. So it still wouldn't even cover the cost of health insurance. It would cover part of it, and it would get the government out of the game. But that leads me to my final point on it. Not only does that plan not work financially, unfortunately, but any plan that the Republicans are going to sign on to, you've got to curtail spending somehow. Because all of this spending that we're doing, and we're driving ourselves into debt and inflation, like perpetual forever inflation now, can be curtailed if you address Social Security or the things surrounding it in some way smartly. You got to do it smartly. You know, you can't leave people hanging. And health insurance, because both of those things eat up over 50% of our federal budget and really can't be touched without passing a new law. You can't just do it through reconciliation. So anyway, that's a long way around to say that Republicans don't seem to really have a plan. Eric Burleson does have some good ideas from Missouri. He talks about it with us on the Annie Fry Show. But that's like the best I've heard. And that's pretty involved, and I won't go into it here. But the Trump savings plan, not the baby savings plan, but the HSA kind of thing, either you just have to spend a lot more money to do it, which is a terrible idea, or it doesn't work.
Wow, Wiggins America.
All right, you know how I said that Trump isn't talking about election fraud? He's only tweeting about it and truthing about it. Well, that's true, except you know how Donald Trump is. If something's on the top of his mind, it'll leak out. And it is. It's beginning to leak out a little bit into the press. He's not talking about it a lot, but he did some interview with some rando that I don't even know who it was this week. And, you know, Trump's interviews are notoriously long, but he'll little things come out. And here's one little 15-second clip that he said in that interview that I'm not sure he intended to, but, you know, he's just stream of consciousness.
You know, think of it. If our election wasn't rigged, it was a rigged election, now everyone knows. It's going to come out over the next couple of months too, loud and clear, because we have all the information.
Now, he didn't connect that to Venezuela, but that's probably what he's talking about. There are two whistleblowers that have come out of Venezuela who worked to manipulate elections around the world, including the United States, who are talking, and they're in custody now, if you want to call it that, and they're spilling their guts. They have already spilled their guts. They have probably way more information than they need at this point. Tulsi Gabbard has hinted at it. I don't know exactly what they're doing behind the scenes that they're going to roll this out. But again, I'll play the clip again here because the president knows what they have.
You know, think of it. If our election wasn't rigged, it was a rigged election. Now everyone knows it. It's going to come out over the next couple of months too loud and clear because we have all the information. Here.
And when all this comes out, I don't know. But I will say that there are other things happening on this front right now. And when this comes out, it's going to be a huge story. You won't be able to avoid it. Although the press will try to avoid it for as long as they can. I think that's why Donald Trump is waiting to announce it, because it's going to be a big announcement. He's really good at getting attention on things, of course. He's been talking about this for a long time, though, and they just keep brushing it aside. But he has pardoned Tina Peters this week. And Tina Peters, if you don't know that story, she was a Colorado election official, and she found evidence of fraud. Now, I don't know what that is, and I apologize, because when I look into this, there's so few mainstream reports on it that all I get is just sort of back talk from channels that I can't trust. And so I can't tell you exactly what she found, but she is defiant. And so what they did was they threw her in jail in Colorado. And this was concerning the 2020 election, not 24. So because she made copies of things of electoral information, because she said, oh my gosh, this is all fraudulent. I think it was like vote shaving, but I'm not even going to go into it. It was machine related though. Because of that, they said, you can't make those copies, and they convicted her and threw her in jail, and she's been in jail ever since. And she will not capitulate. She is defiant. She's like, I know what I found, and you know what you're doing. You're intimidating me so that I won't talk about it. And ultimately, I don't know where that data went. I don't know whether the Trump administration has it. I don't know whether Colorado has it, whether it was deleted. I just don't know. But she knows it, and she's in jail. And so Trump this week actually pardoned her. The problem is that you can't pardon a state crime if you're a president. Actually, it's never been tested, so we don't know for sure. But that's the overwhelming opinion right now, is that he actually can't pardon her. So we'll see where it goes. I'm just telling you, because there's a lot bubbling up under the surface on this. And we're going to keep watching it. Thanks for listening to Wiggins America. We'll see you next week.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.